Hey everybody, welcome to White Noise Live! Yay! We're here with Ian and Rachel and Ricky, and this is the first episode of our new White Noise podcast, which we're now doing, even though I at least at one point said that we weren't doing White Noise anymore, because we do things that we say we won't, and then don't do things that we say we will.
This isn't White Noise, it's White Noise Live.
White Noise Live. Like,
it's actually White Noise Experience 3.
How many? Yeah, because I split the other podcast into two at one point. So we have like the original and then this one. And then we had the video version. And now we have White Noise Live.
So we've just sort of let like the video version separate out in its container into White Noise and also Counterintelligence.
So this is what we'll be doing.
That's what it's called.
What is it?
I thought it was called like Pop Secret or something like that.
Pop Secret.
I believe that is a popcorn.
It is a popcorn.
Lingerie magazine. I'm not sure which.
Ooh.
Pop Secret. That's
right, looks like we are actually live. I can see the stream going.
Can we make Pop Secret? Can that be the next project?
What will that be? Is that a podcast?
It really depends on whether or not it's a popcorn or a lingerie magazine.
Well, it's about pop music, and it will include Ian's Demi Lovato covers.
Jones! Okay, yes.
Good ideas, Fuller.
Good.
The Pop Secret line of lingerie in the Demi Lovato video.
So Ricky has this, we all have a Dropbox that we've shared since, god dang it.
Kyle, is that phone even still plugged in? I've never once seen you answer it.
I don't answer that phone. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So we have this Dropbox that we've used for several years now, and Ricky has recently made his own folder called Ricky's Good Ideas Folder. And the only file in that folder is a Word document where Ricky just occasionally goes and puts somewhat usable ideas into.
Oh my gosh,
hey, look, there it is.
Oh.
Yeah, so actually... I put us on a larger delay to avoid like buffering issues and things.
I'm gonna freak out if I look at the stream, so I need to find it.
It's a rich text format.
I don't know,
but it's opening Microsoft Word.
Looks like we have some viewers. So and then we have our chat here, which we can respond to. We probably won't be having a direct conversation with the chat quite as much as like during. Video game streams or anything like that, because this is actually a podcast and will go up on our channel into a podcast playlist after we're done, and then the audio version will also be added to the website at whitelightninghq.com/podcasts. So if you just want the audio version, it won't be automatic. I have to go do it, but.
I thought, wow, Kyle, that's like a real program and stuff.
Yeah, no. I will just be adding the audio versions to our podcast page. So,
I will still monitor the chat because I am the god of the multiverse.
Well, now we can all monitor the chat too. So we're all on our own computers.
It's still mine.
I nominate you to monitor the chat.
Mebzy said hi, by the way. So hi, Mebzy.
I'm not sure when that was though.
Everybody else said rip stream.
Those are, I think that's from last time. The chat carries over from the previous stream. But yeah, this is going to be our new replacement for community comments so that we have a more direct interaction, and it's going to be our semi-unprofessional-ish kind of thing because we're all just going to be at our homes over Skype, and we can have different people on. We can have guests on a lot easier. I think it'd be really great to have other YouTubers on, like Squire, I'm sure, would be interested in doing it, which I would love because... I don't know if he'll share. If he doesn't share a video, we'll just put his avatar there or something. But yeah, hopefully we can have other creators on and, you know, talk to them about things. And we'll be doing this once a week, probably either Friday evenings or Saturday mornings, and we'll kind of alternate depending on who's available, which means if you're not free for one of those times, hopefully you can catch a stream on occasion. So that's the plan.
Kyle, so professional. He looks like a radio DJ.
Yeah.
He looks professional when you stick an awkward piece of equipment in the screen, in the shot with them.
Yeah.
What does that actual screen in front of the mic do? Does it catch wind or...
Breath from making the mic go...
So I can't go like... and like breathe into the microphone and make it blow out.
It's what the Chocolate Rain guy needed.
Well, he had it.
No, because he moves away from the mic to breathe.
Does he?
I'm it not says, yeah,
sure I've watched. There's a lot of classic YouTube videos I haven't actually watched, I don't think, and that's one of them. I know.
Oh, yeah,
I pointed out that this whole time I have the White Lightning calendar on the wall just behind this, and so I just have John's Kerbal face staring me in the eye.
So I have a couple talking points, but other, you know, just to rescue us if we start getting without things to talk about. But we never seem to have a shortage of things to babble on about last time. So that's what we're doing. I think it's interesting that basically we've returned to the original format that we started with at the very beginning of doing these podcasts. We started just having these hour-long talking sessions of saying nothing interesting at all, and then we started adding, like, segments and time limitations and theme music, and now we're just like, screw all that, and just start talking again.
But the chairs in your internet room were much more comfortable.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you were there for those three episodes or whatever.
Yeah.
I still never listened to those.
It's fine. There's really no point in doing it. All those, I feel like I'm going to be tempted to start removing some of those in the years to come. I don't know if I will.
Don't be George Lucas.
It's George Lucas that wasn't removing. That's us from high school, and I mostly dislike myself from high school, and I don't like those being out there.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you still have...
For when you run for political office?
Oh, God. I never would do that under any circumstances.
No, I'm pretty sure you would just have a military coup. Or just like a technocalypse coup. Hi, Sunset Cat.
Hi, Sunset Cat.
Also, pseudonym. X-pseudonym. I don't ever know if you're supposed to pronounce X's in usernames. Because lots of times they're just structural.
Yeah.
I thought they were like little accessories, kind of. Accessories!
Ah!
I don't get it. Oh,
accessories!
Okay.
All right.
I think that Three Wubbies versus a Big Monster Thing with an Axe is an underrated classic.
Are you just looking through our old videos now?
Everybody go watch it.
We've already done this.
Yeah, we actually just did recently our last stream was 3.5 hours of just watching our own videos.
Really?
Yeah, we have two of them on our channel now. They were split into old videos and new videos, and they're each like between 2 and 3 hours.
Most of the ones with Wubbies was just Kyle going, oh, God. And I was just going, oh, yeah.
I'm only mad at one video.
Which one's that?
It's Kyle Plays Magic. Not because of the quality of the video, it's fine. But because I think I was in town when you put it up.
Really?
Nobody consulted me at all. Just like, I was in town, I texted you I was in town, and then you uploaded that. And I was like,
you did not text me. Nobody knows when you're in town. That has to be a lie. Oh.
I don't have a home in Austin anymore.
Where do you go when you come here?
Well, my parents moved to Alaska.
Oh, I had not heard that.
That's because they moved about 3 months ago.
Wait, why would anybody do that?
Great tax subsidies.
Yeah, the government pays you to live there.
Apparently, it is beautiful there, and they like live on the ocean. And they watch otters, and they've gotten less snow in Alaska than I've gotten here in Texas.
Okay, the heck?
The other side of the coin,
what
however,
life is that?
Climate is Sarah change. Palin
grizzly bears.
Well, you don't have to interact with Sarah Palin. You can't argue that. There are plenty of crazy people here.
Alaska is actually bigger than Texas. I think you could probably avoid Sarah Palin if you tried hard enough.
I don't know.
Plus, there are like
but, okay,
all
right.
weird landscapes.
Let's just. But nobody's addressed the elephant in the room, which is actually the grizzly bears.
Well, they live on, like, a southern island.
Oh, so they're not, like, in mainland Alaska?
No, like, literally, if you look at, like, Alaska, like, you know there's, like, that tail end with a bunch of islands?
Yeah.
They're, like, in that, like, tail end area. Like.
Huh.
See, Alaska's always bothered me because, as a classicist, I say the word Juno a lot. And lots of people go, Alaska? It's, like, the only time I ever have to worry about people spelling things more Frenchly than is necessary.
So now that your parents don't live here, is it even less likely that you will materialize in Austin regularly?
It is definitely less likely, but there is a chance I'll be coming down around spring break-ish area, because for some reason my little brother, who is a senior in high school now, also went with them to Alaska instead of moving in with me or something like rational or something. And so he's like, I want to come down back to Austin for spring break. And my parents are letting him, so he's going to come back to Austin.
Just, like, crash on the floor of Wonko's or something?
I probably could, but...
Wonko's is a game store here, by the way, that Ricky used to work at.
Mm-hmm. And I used to just skulk around at.
We filmed some stuff there, too. We filmed... Huh?
Kyle almost died there.
Yeah, we filmed Refresher Round. That's where I almost got heat stroke. And then we also filmed one scene of the guards themselves in the same location.
Which one was that? Was that the one where it gets captured?
It was the superheroes.
Getting that captured. Really doesn't narrow it down. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, I can. Skype cuts out sometimes, which is kind of irritating because if Skype cuts out for me, it's also cutting out on the stream. I wish there was a way to make Skype more reliable, but, you know, welcome to the world's problems.
Hi, Mega Lamb. Don't we just call those sheep? Hi, guys. Will you be doing a short based on Undertale at some point? That would involve one of us playing it.
I am actually playing Undertale right now.
It's
the first game I'm playing through in a long time because Sean bought it for me, and Sean doesn't interact with people much, so that intrigued me enough to try to play through it. It's kind of cool.
Thanks.
It's you know, like one of those retro 8-bit games, which I usually don't...
Yep.
It irritates me. The 8-bit thing, I think, bugs me just because I don't have any nostalgia for it, and it just looks lazy to me. But,
I played 700 hours of Pokemon a week, so...
this particular game is creative. It's the actual gameplay is rather different. You don't actually have to fight. You can go to other options and, like, talk your enemies down in a way.
Oh, it's just like how you play D&D.
Different options. Yeah, it is kind of... Yeah, it is similar. Conceptually, and so it's interesting. It's also, I just noticed the other day, too, that you can't tell the gender of the person you're playing. I've been seeing it as a guy, because I gave it a guy's name, but you're playing as this little kid, and he's got, you know, like, this half-length hair, and you can't, and no other real features, because it's pixelated, so it's like, oh, this could actually be, this looks like everybody, weirdly, because this the is skin is also a weird color, where there's no race or anything.
No spoiler.
Okay, but is the skin actually a weird color, or are your eyes just genetically inferior?
I guess I can't see. It's a mid-tone color to where it's like it could go any way. Like I just thought it was cool. It was a clever use of character design to make it to where it's like this neutral human being that could be anybody.
Mm. Yeah.
Remember no spoilers.
Yeah, I don't think I've reached spoilers yet, so I won't talk about the game, but. I'm still avoiding them myself. Supposedly there are spoilers to be had, so...
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of games you haven't played and have need to play, I realized something. So after we finished our Metal Gear Epic playthrough in, like, 6 years...
Yeah.
We should have you do a Mass Effect playthrough.
Yeah, I was hearing more people talk about Mass Effect recently and thought about...
Because Andromeda is coming out sometime either late this year or next.
Oh, that's cool!
But, like... I just realized we have all these games that we want you to play, Kyle, but you never do because you're too busy being productive. So with this, get the streaming channel off the ground, we can just use it as an excuse to make you enjoy yourself.
That's true. I also don't play very many video games, but I would like to, or at least sit around and watch people do it. So I'm excited.
We just got Mass Effect here.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
Because we inherited an Xbox 360 from her brothers this Christmas. But we also inherited all of the games they let us have, which is, like, the newest Prince of Persia.
Also a Skyrim that freezes every hour.
So we have to go actually acquire games.
What was that, Ricky?
I said that's just normal Skyrim. Skyrim is because of the cleaning lady story, in which my buddy and I were playing Skyrim, and he got the, like, legendary axe you get for beating the arena. So he went into the champion's room of the arena and put the axe, of course, in the champion's chest and then came back later and the chest was empty because it's Skyrim. So we just assume that the cleaning lady just threw it out. Legendary axe of big importance.
I actually have it for PC, but So far, I've spent literally 15 minutes playing and literally 8 hours modding, which I believe is the correct and normal ratio.
I modded ahead of time when I first started playing, and then but I recently had to do that whole thing reinstalling my computer, so I haven't played again since, because I'd have to go through that whole process again.
I can't handle games that give me too much option. Yeah. I need a directive, I need a goal, and I need to be able to be competitive in it. Like, so, Skyrim, Oblivion, I've played them, and I, like, go on a quest line for about 5 minutes, and then, like, accidentally hit somebody, and then start hopping around on rooftops, and then turn the game off. And that's how it goes every time I try to play.
I actually had an interesting experience playing Skyrim, because I installed all the mods ahead of time. I had already seen, I basically knew the Skyrim story because it had been out for several years, and I had seen the intro animation like a dozen times on YouTube. So I knew the start of the story. So I downloaded, one of the mods I added was one that changes the way the story starts. It gives you a big list of starting points, and you can pick where you want, and then it sticks you somewhere else. So I had an entirely different beginning of the story than everybody else. And it was great, because I ended up, like, my version of Skyrim was, I woke up in a shipwreck up in the Northern Sea, and then I had this other mod installed that made, like, realistic climate, so you had to be careful with cold and different weather conditions. So I wake up in this frozen sea and have to struggle to swim through, like, this Arctic Ocean to get to the end.
You're slightly off track here. That wasn't Skyrim, that was Bioshock.
I almost die getting there, and then I find this tiny little town, and I'm just, and there's snow everywhere, and I, you know, burst into this inn, and then learn about some weird, mysterious thing, you know, curse over the town or whatever, and it's up in this temple, so I'm like, okay, I'll go check that out. So I go check out this thing after bundling up and having to trudge my way all of, you know, 1 mile because of how bad the weather is, and then meet some wizard guy, and then I go, like, fight through this temple with him, and then there's, we get to the point where you have to destroy this rock or something. Whatever's causing the curse is, like, the spirit imbued into this statue, and he's working on destroying it, and then I hear this voice suddenly telling me, hey, this guy's tricking you. He's going to betray you and take this power. I'm like, what? How dare he? And I pull my sword out and I'm about to stab him. And then I suddenly think, and this is, I remember this because it was just such an organic experience that has never happened in any game. And I think it only worked because of all these mods I installed. And I was about to kill him. And I was like, hold on. I've been fighting with this guy this whole time. Like, we've been having pleasant conversation and stuff. Why would I suddenly trust this voice?
It is clearly much more authoritative.
So then I was just like, okay, I'll just wait. And so then he finished what he was doing and then turned to me and was like, yeah, thanks. And so now we travel the countryside and fight crime and stuff. It's really cool.
So I can handle Bioshock, because Bioshock doesn't give me too many options. Atlas comes on the thing, tells me to do something, and I go do it. It's great. I love Bioshock.
Yeah, it's you kind of have to hit that balance, I think, between, because I've heard that complaint before where people start and it's like, you know, choose between these 50 things to go do, and they're like, no, I don't have time for this.
And it just becomes like awkward errand simulator.
Yeah,
and then, like, if I wanted to go like take care of a list of 50 things that are annoying me, I could just go back to real life.
I think the correct balance to do, and there are lots of different games, so it's, you know, it depends on what kind of story you're trying to tell, but I think Half-Life is a great example of doing linear storytelling properly, where you're just kind of railroading people in a way that isn't really noticeable. It feels so like your decisions
in that game, you get on a train.
Well, okay, so you do literally get railroaded in some points, but
I mean, the trick with Half-Life is there is one door that enters and one door that exits.
But there are times in the game where I actually felt like my decisions were somehow impacting the story for just a second before I realized that was impossible. And that's just how good their level design is that they also give you opportunities to make decisions, but it's the decision they want you to make.
They made the floor as lava level, and that was the best level.
Which level? What?
The level where you have to keep throwing driftwood in front of yourself to not touch the ground.
Level. Yeah.
Or else,
Half-Life 2, that's right. You didn't like Half-Life 1, right, Kyle?
Oh, well, I had trouble with Half-Life 1 just because it was so old, I think. It was really intense and didn't have quite the... Plus, then I played Half-Life 2, and Half-Life 2 is much better than Half-Life 1 just by virtue of being a game they made later. So they, you know, learned how to do it better.
They're both groundbreaking for the time.
Yeah. I did start playing Black Mesa, though, the Source remake of Half-Life 1, and that was fun.
Yeah.
I tried to replay Half-Life 2, and apparently when I played Half-Life 2 the first time, I glitched the game somehow.
Yeah.
Because it's Half-Life 2. Apparently there's this, like, in the part where you're on, like, the jet ski.
This is a very big glitch.
Huh?
When did we get jet skis?
Well, it's a boat. Some boat thing.
Yeah, the airboat.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. There's, like, some ridiculous puzzle with a ramp, and you have to, like, raise the ramp up.
That's when physics puzzles were new.
I never saw that puzzle the first time I played. I don't know what I did, but I never had to deal with that puzzle. So when I tried to play it again, I hit that puzzle, and I was like, what do I do? And I think you have to, like, I think you take barrels and put them underwater to float the ramp up.
Yeah.
And it took me, like, 40 minutes.
No, go ahead.
Of all the... So this is the era... I fondly remember this, like, during the GameCube era. It was like this bizarre era where every game had to have a little bit of every game genre in it.
Yeah.
Like, no, we need to have some platforming. We need to have some shooting. We're gonna have a vehicle section, all right? And you just don't have any. I remember this especially. There was some Matrix game, not where you play as any of the main characters.
No, I know which one you're talking about.
But it's like this. There's two different characters you play as, and it's really bizarre because in the manual it goes out of its way to mention that the male character, whose name I couldn't possibly ever recall, like, blah blah blah, does not have any driving missions. Blah 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 does not have any driving missions. Blah blah blah. It, like, mentions like 6 times in the manual, and then you're playing the game, and you know what happens? Blah 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 has some driving missions.
Oh my god!
No, you don't drive. You shoot a gun on the back of the truck.
No, but at one point you actually drive. I remember I was looking up a guide, and, like, despite what the manual tells you 6 times, blah 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 does in fact get a driving mission.
What?
Also,
why?
Where I came to believe that the term riding shotgun meant being in the car with a shotgun.
isn't it like if you're like in the mafia and, like, somebody has to drive and another person has to shoot?
Apparently,
that's
what
it was.
If mid-aughts gaming taught me anything, it's that that's necessary in every part of life, not just the mafia.
Okay.
But anyway.
For every profession.
Yeah.
Teacher, lawyer, doctor.
Half-Life.
I hate stealth games, by the way, Mega Lamb. I can't play stealth games. I run in guns blazing. And any game that punishes me for doing so is bad, in my opinion.
I like your attitude.
No.
I like your attitude.
This is not going to fare you well in the Metal Gear playthrough.
I don't stealth as a rogue in D&D. I face rogue. So I don't stealth in anything I do.
You were like the full
I'm literally the least stealthy
rogue in play. But yeah, I do like the guard memory. It's like in the first Metal Gear Solid game, they're supposed to be like super genetically modified hyper soldiers that apparently can't tell the difference between and wind.
Was that a goat?
Yes, it was a goat gun.
Were you picking up a goat by the throat and holding it aloft?
It's something I learned from Half-Life. Oh, no, wait, sorry. That was just using a weird pheromone organ to control my enemies.
What the heck?
That was amazing.
You just, like, rip out a dude's, like, pheromone sack and just, like, and you can call forth antlions.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, let's clarify. It's like an alien bug creature. It's not like a guy.
Okay,
because I was totally picturing, like, a soldier. I was like, are all the others, like, female? Like, why are you able to do this?
No, it's Starship Troopers level.
Yeah, it's basically Starship Trooper bugs.
With less Nazi imagery.
You'll notice that whenever we have game conversations, I will bring up Half-Life a lot. Or not just Half-Life, Valve. I'll bring up Valve a lot because I think Valve is, like, the greatest thing. So that will... I have a bit of a bias in that
for
direction.
For all, like, 3 games that they've made.
Hey, no, they've made plenty more than 3 games. They just don't make 3 of each game. Right? That's the distinction.
Have you seen Portal speedruns?
I have seen little clips of some of them. They're pretty insane.
You can beat that game in 8 minutes, and it involves stealing a security camera. How you beat it is you take the security camera, and you use it to glitch through the bottom of the elevator and fall to the bottom level.
This is sort of like, you can, like, people have gotten down their Ocarina of Time speed runs to sub 20 minutes.
Like, what? Is it, they have to glitch there too?
It's basically like if you go to GameFAQs, or like back in the heyday of reading game guides, there's one for seam walking. Like, they've taken apart this game so much, but it's you can just glitch through. They you basically just become Neo in Ocarina of Time with your level of control.
Have you seen that like insane thing you do in Majora's Mask where the river currents in the water level are the same as the air currents when you float around as a Deku shrub? So if you drown yourself on a river current as the Deku shrub, the game thinks you're in an air current, so it respawns you with the flower helicopters and in the air. So you get to like fly through the level by drowning yourself.
I feel like this is actually some incredibly clever programming. Like, somebody was like, guys, I just don't think you're going to get this game out in time. And somebody goes, wait, no, I have the answer. It's probably like somebody's Hail Mary that we're accidentally discovering here.
How would that help?
Have you seen the Donkey Kong 64 speedruns where you float through the air as Donkey Kong?
No. You know, I've never actually Donkey Kong 64 because of the stupid Nintendo and Rareware coins where you have to play old school Donkey Kong on like arcade machines. I couldn't beat them.
I'd like to.
No, Avery, there is no general topic of this podcast.
And no, we are not going to listen to our old podcast, and in fact, nobody should.
I don't know what the topic is. Hi, Avery, by the way. She said hi to us.
Like, yes, I was intentionally ignoring that. Thank
you're
you.
You're a bad brother.
How would that even work? Listening to our own podcast. That would not.
She's like, on headphones. That was pretty. Oh, God. Why did I say that? No, guys, it'll get to the good part. I promise.
Commentary the commentary.
Commentary the musical. By the way, wasn't Dr. Horrible great?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
I was actually just on the topic of game making and games and things. I was thinking that one thing that might be fun to do with our videos this year is on occasion try to find some more obscure independent games and make videos of those, because as we kind of identified during our watching our own videos stream, we're actually, I think for the most part, we're pretty decent at establishing the game within the video. So I think that it's possible that we could make a video on a game that most people have not really played that much and still make it entertaining, and at the same time, use it to kind of advertise lesser-known games. So I thought maybe it would be a fun challenge to kind of give us something.
I vote for the Magic the Gathering Xbox game.
Oh God, is that the one where, like, the Battlefield one?
Yeah, where you're on a dodgeball field.
Like, horned turtle, whatever.
And, like, that game's hilarious, by the way.
It's so terrible, I love it.
And, also, like,
isn't there, like,
when the other guy gets one health, you can just run across your side of the board and just hit him with your stick?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that idea, though?
I'm wondering if it's like a very difficult variable to isolate, whether or not we're good at establishing games, or if because we are doing major games, we don't have to establish them.
Well, I've actually gotten some feedback from admittedly one person saying that they've discovered several games through our videos, like they didn't know about them before and saw our videos and then went and played the games.
I think it also kind of depends on the game. Like, for instance, if we're doing a game like Don't Starve, I feel like the concept is pretty self-explanatory, or...
Yeah.
Like, murderer. Got it.
I just thought it might be worth looking into, because I know...
It's a good idea.
I think it'd be fun working with smaller game developers like that, because it's, like, they have such a rough time in general, so I think it would be a nice combination of giving us a new challenge to do, and also, like, helping somebody else out and working with them by sort of advertising their work.
It's also one of the white lightning-est things ever, hey, now that we're about to break into 10,000 subscribers and get into really popular territory, let's go talk to a bunch of people that nobody's ever heard of.
Like, I literally only play, like, League, Melee, and Rocket League.
You would be Melee.
I am a Melee person because it's the best game.
No, no, no. Now that Smash 4 has Roy, that's all I care about.
Wait, did they add Roy back in?
Yes, Roy!
Smash 4 is too defensive of a game.
No, but I don't care. It has
Roy. It's not as defensive as Brawl.
Roy is in Smash 4 and not incredibly inferior to Marth in every way, which is what I need.
You know what's great about doing this live is it actually keeps track of how long we've been talking, so I don't have to suddenly halfway through go, wait, when did we start?
When did we start, Kyle? How long we've been talking?
I've been talking for 30 minutes.
Are you gonna put the microphone?
Oh, yeah.
So...
Adventures of, I've never heard of it.
Too much, yeah, I haven't heard of that one either. Well, that's the point. We should go look it up. Because they're on Steam, they have a whole section of, like, these cheaper games, you know, these lower end, like, just came out, pay a dollar to play them kind of thing. And we've actually gotten a few. I know Ethan and his friends will just have, like, dollar game nights or something where they'll go buy a new game from Steam for a dollar and then...
Why have we not played Torchlight?
I have Torchlight, and I haven't played it.
I have Torchlight, too. You should, like, break up.
I don't even know why I have it.
It's extreme... It is the worst offender of shoot and loot since Borderlands. And I actually kind of... What?
It's a Diablo clone, but the class balance is engineer's the best class, and you don't need any of the other classes. It's amazing.
No, but one of them lets me have two pistols, each of which has six barrels.
Okay. Yes.
But not like revolver, but like aligned vertically.
You know, play the engineer, you literally get a heal bot. Heal bots.
Yes, but does the healbot have pistols?
I don't think so. But you carry a wrench and you hit people with it.
Wait a second.
I think I'd like to see Kyle play, like, Bayonetta.
Oh my god.
But I want Kyle to be the one playing it, like...
Or what's like, the other cinematic
game? Have Kyle play Catherine, whatever.
Oh my god, that'd be so hilarious. Okay, Kyle, you have to play Catherine.
I don't want to play either of those.
Okay.
We should try and get that could be our streaming shtick, right? Kyle plays uncomfortable games.
Maybe Kyle plays a game that we pick for him and he doesn't know what it is.
Like, oh, wait, no, see, now you're just turning me into Conan. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, but he's not good at games.
I'm not either.
I've been playing Hearts 1, replaying it on hardest difficulty. And only using the kingdom key through the entire game.
I love that gaming has gotten to the point of doing these weird meta games where you just like set your own arbitrary rules ahead of time.
It's not like the Nuzlocke challenge. It's storyline. I don't want to have like a random key in the cutscenes, so I have the kingdom key the entire game. Until I get Oathkeeper, I'm not allowed to change keyblades, and so of course I'm stuck at the Riku fight. Because when I hit him, it literally does, like, no damage. I'm pretty sure he gains health when I hit him.
This is actually an interesting idea.
And I'm no other companions, just Donald and Goofy.
Like, since we can do a trade, Kyle, like our trade of yore with Doctor Who and Lost.
Yeah.
After we do our Metal Gear Epic playthrough, if we don't want to have you sit through Mass Effect, we should have me do... Kingdom Hearts, because I've never played any of them.
I'd still like to do Mass Effect, too, but yeah, either of those would be good.
Mm-hmm. Just
Kingdom Hearts is from the era we're talking about, too, so that works.
Yeah. I mean, at the point, by the time we actually get to it, Mass Effect will be very vaguely indistinguishable from the era we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess it
is.
I don't think Kingdom Hearts 3 is actually ever going to come out.
Well, they're advertised. I mean, they're... I didn't think it was going to come out until they started showing like game footage of it.
Yeah, but there's no release date still.
All I know is that I will now be able to play it because Reed won a PS4, so I don't have to go buy one.
My roommate also won a PS4.
Really?
I can buy Persona 5.
Wait, what?
No. What?
Wendell Isaac?
Not that roommate. Another roommate. You can't win a PS4.
I wonder if Reed's winning PS4 is in any way related to the fact that his internet security seems to be entirely compromised.
I wonder if
I think that started happening earlier.
Sounds like use Adblock or something, man.
Yeah, I really don't know what. I don't understand how people get viruses on their computer because I don't.
Well, then, Kyle, your computer kind of is a virus.
I think I just try to push it and make it do too many things, but I'm also able to notice at least when they show up. I wish I could get to the point of, like, this one guy I know, CJ, is the guy who comes and who helps me fix my computer problems whenever they get beyond my control. And he understands, he's like Kirk, you know, he understands how computers work down to how the electricity moves level.
Yeah, so electrical engineering understanding.
He's the guy who actually will put viruses on his own computer to practice taking them off. Like, just an exercise. He doesn't have any antivirus software at all because he doesn't need it. He can just identify when something's there that it shouldn't be and get rid of it.
That's weird. Like, it's like almost like he's giving vaccinations.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I think the way it works, Kyle, is your computer is just constantly running a high enough fever that it kills any virus.
Yeah, literally, actually. I have to point a fan into my computer several times when I'm rendering video so that it doesn't shut off halfway through. Nice. My computer, you know, how like the TARDIS console looks in Doctor Who? That's basically how my computer functions. It's just garbage, like, thrown together that it technically works, but I have to keep hitting it and, like, rearranging things.
Are you saying that if we, like, tore open your computer and shoved our face in it, we could just control time and space?
You know, I'm not going to say it wouldn't work.
How do you think Kyle's been doing it this whole time?
Oh, gosh. Are you the bad wolf, Kyle?
I still don't know what that means.
Oh, nobody does!
We'll have to have, like, an entire Doctor Who episode sometime when nobody else is present, just like me and Ian deconstruct.
Actually into Doctor Who.
Huh? Oh, I'm totally caught up. But Bad Wolf doesn't make sense. That didn't mean anything, even in the show.
No, it's actually people have been talking about it recently on the message boards and things, and it, like, people have been bringing up as, like, a weakness of the series. Like, it never meant to, but you know what? I think it's a great way to have a meaningless plot that works.
I thought it was just her reminding herself to do things.
Yeah, but to do what?
To steer herself.
Describe that in more detail.
They actually just did it this last episode with the Mozart paradox or the Beethoven paradox, whichever one.
Yeah, they did actually recently.
It's literally just that, but stretched out to season length. It doesn't mean anything except that it had to be there.
Yeah, it's a lazy writing point is the problem. It doesn't actually. It's a time loop that has no origin.
I'm just gonna say Rose is the best
convenient writing point, as is most of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Did I get a no?
What?
Rose is the best companion?
Yes.
Depends on who we're talking with. I don't think Rose and Eccleston were... They were okay. Rose and Tennant were great.
It's magic.
Okay, this is a whole podcast.
Yeah, we can't start getting into this, or it's going to take over the entire show.
I see myself being drawn in.
Plus, whenever I take a personality quiz that's like, which Doctor Who companion are you? I always get Rose every time.
That's decent.
That's a good thing.
Don't. If you get Martha, you should just go rethink your life.
I remember seeing.
Oh my gosh! What is Rose's?
No, we're doing it. We're doing it. Okay, everybody, stop. Kill the Doctor Who conversation.
Okay.
It'll just regenerate, Kyle.
We'll do it Dexter. Another episode. Dexter. We'll have Doctor Who episode. What else can I talk? Oh, okay. So, I was gonna bring up one thing. Did you read the Half-Life script yet?
Oh, let me do that exactly right now.
Well, no, don't do that now. We're recording a podcast.
But I want to do it.
If you haven't yet, don't read it right at the moment. But it's
new one.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Kyle in bright red heels. This is a great script, Kyle.
Tomorrow we're doing a third Half-Life video.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Half-Life video 3 confirmed. We're gonna be doing another one. And we cast someone for Alex. And so I was just wondering if you'd read the script yet, because I was curious to... I'm curious to get your opinions on how the script worked, because it was actually a really tough script to write this time. And I think I ended up making a good script, but I was having problems with it because I was trying really hard to not turn Alex into this one particular female stereotype that I see in a lot of things, which is, I think the best examples are, like, sitcom wives and the female members of anime gangs are the two examples I can think of.
Like, I will not change the topic to Sherlock. Benedict Cumberbatch is been doomed to a life of solving things because of that show.
But you, I don't.
The
stereotype I'm talking about is like it's you have the woman whose job it is to be the
girl,
the stern, like, you know, competent together one that has to like control all the wacky guys, kind of. It's like Misty from Pokemon.
Idiot, stop being an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. It's the arm crossy, finger waggy kind of person, which I was having trouble with because the whole plot is Gordon being stubborn about a thing, and so it was, you know,
is this dog in there?
Dog is not in there because I'm not a 3D character animator, but.
But doodle dog.
Substituting with an actual dog.
But yeah, it was partially difficult because of the story structure almost called for it. And then at the same time, while I was writing it, I have to kind of stick with the already existing characterization of Alex because she's an existing character, right? Like, I can't just make her do whatever I want. And I realized while writing that Alex is not really an interesting character.
Well, she's literally just an exposition bot. Like,
it's that, and it's also that she's perfect.
She's no Elizabeth.
She has to be with you. Like, she's with you for large portions of the game, and Valve didn't want to risk making the player dislike her, so she's flawless, which actually makes it really hard for her to be goofy and wacky or anything within the script. So those are the problems I was having. I was just curious if you had read it yet, and I'm curious to get your opinions of it once you do read it or once the video comes out, just to see how well I avoided that, because I'm not sure. I still think I didn't totally clear it, but...
Well, I mean, if that's her character, it's actually an... I mean, like, if you're just writing a character that is that stereotype, I don't see an issue in using the stereotype.
Yeah, I wanted to make it a little bit, because we were, you know, hiring an outside... The problem I was having is there was a point during the writing process where I thought, this could just be an NPC in this script. It doesn't have to be Alex. And I specifically wanted to include Alex to include the character and do something different. So... I think
totally opposed with the original. I originally was going to suggest that she just be a random NPC, actually. So that's an interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I at some point I'd like to get your take on it. It's too late now because we're filming it tomorrow. But
are you?
Yeah.
Find somebody else to be a Combine soldier.
Yeah. We've got Ethan's going to be on camera. We have one other person showing up just to help with stuff, and then one of that person's friends is coming to body double for the Combine soldier. Which
I going back to the prison?
Huh?
You're going back to the prison?
No, we're going to be behind the new art studio because it looks like a Half-Life location, conveniently.
I love that prison. They're nice people.
Yeah.
I think, like...
Okay, hold on. I'd love to just take that sentence out of context and just display, I love that prison, and they're such nice people.
Ricky, 2016. I also like they have an electric chair permanently in their lobby.
They accidentally took their water. Accidentally. secrets out.
It was an accident.
But that camera was really heavy, and man, it was way too hot.
Yeah, no, they are really nice. We got to film the last Half-Life 2 video for free in that location, so that was great. And then yeah, same with this one where our location is just it's same place that we film Counterintelligence.
Counterintelligence. Top secret.
Yeah. It's just outside in that same location. So that'll be the
when
next video.
When are you guys gonna have Counterintelligence mugs?
We do. You can buy them at our store.
Excellent. Yeah, I was gonna suggest that.
WhiteLightningHQ.com/store. Also, you can buy the guards themselves there, because it's for sale now for $5. You should get it.
Woo! Oh my gosh, for sale? $5? That's such a deal. I would go buy that right now.
And every time you take money on the guards themselves, for $1 of that purchase goes to Kyle, along with the other $4.
I get $4.50, actually, because...
What? It's only a 50 cent? It's actually really awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, Yeah, whatever. Just keep 95%.
I actually really like the soundtrack of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shadow of Whales. They're awesome. I actually still have an emotional connection to most of the songs.
I can recall specific scenes of the movie based on the songs.
I really like the burner and then logo.
Yeah, no, me too. I also, my favorite one, my favorite song from that soundtrack is the one that's like all creepy. And it's like, there's a treasure underground. Whatever.
Oh, Mezier. Bury the hatchet.
Bury the
That's what I use for Mezier's sneaking into the prison.
That one's so great.
There's also a Mezier shirt on the store. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys should check out boylightninghq.com/store, which is a new page that I just added this week.
Remember, like, 10 years ago, sitting in Ian's room, reading through that script?
Yeah, we actually did. I forgot you were there when we were first working out, like, the base
plot structure. That game is stupid!
I remember being very salty about the title choice.
Because that's when we came up with, when we were all together in Ian's room, that's when we came up with the end and the twist, you know, the
whole Meyer
blowing up his building thing.
It was basically just like, so what if they gave him the bomb?
Which I still, even now, I'm not entirely sure that works, but nobody complained about it, so.
I know! I really expected, like, somebody to be like, everybody's like, hey, I believe it's a bit of cosmic grace. Just like, it's a fixed point in understanding that that is an okay thing that is okay.
There's supposed to be 7. Does everybody else know, everybody, all 10 of you listening, does everybody else know that there's supposed to be, like, 8 more of those movies?
No, there's not.
4.
Of what
movies? Only 4?
Was Reach Oligarch.
We were going to go through and take them all down.
Back before we understood how difficult the process was, we had a longer story planned out where each installment we would, the anarchist would be taking down one of the people you saw in that boardroom meeting at the beginning of the film.
Which is actually why Artemis Cosling has a prominent enough... Stop! What are you doing?
I'm going to write something.
No, this is my name.
You can just talk
it's
to
Rachel
them.
Typing.
You can just talk to people.
You can just talk to them.
You're live on the thing. They're watching you now.
It's okay. It didn't make any sense.
That's why I typed it. Okay. Sorry.
Now everybody is going to be like, what's going on? Until the delay catches up and they're going to go, oh.
I have been thinking,
I forgot they're on a delay. Sorry, guys.
Oh, look, they're already confused.
wait.
So our next series that we've been talking about has been... not Spider-Man. We actually postponed that one because we didn't think we were ready for it. Our next one is actually the thing we've been referring to as Space Thing. Because we just refer to all of our projects as noun thing, based on whatever it is.
It's actually kind of unfortunate. We've had somebody suggest, and we thought of it during the brainstorming, the correct name, like the cosmically correct name for it is Lone Star.
Yeah, I saw that.
Except that our universe explicitly involves 5 stars.
And I don't want to, I don't want to talk about it too much on the podcast, because I don't want to, you know, just say everything that we're going to be doing, but... I am looking forward to writing that one. It'll be one that I think we will be able to film as we go. So it actually won't be like the guards themselves, where we film it in a big block and then release it over the course of a month or something. Don't do that.
Everybody will be able to see that it was you, Rachel.
I mean, anarchy! That was actually Ian.
But
I had to join in.
I want to actually get together and start writing that soon, because I've already been... I'm trying to avoid coming up with it myself, because I want to do it together, but I'm already, like, getting different plot points in my head. So, We should meet up and go over that sometime soon.
Yes, but not... Oh, hey, speaking of, I will be back in Austin for the end of this month.
Yeah.
You will?
Yeah, for an unspecified event that I'm dragging you to, Kyle.
Oh, this is going to be so fun!
Right, unspecified, got it.
Yeah, it's completely random and totally just something that you'll really enjoy.
Just out of curiosity, is the same form of entertainment going to be provided a second time this year?
Yes!
Now, see, you're doing this on a podcast, so we have to describe what you're talking about, or it just makes for crappy entertainment.
Oh, you're totally right, Kyle. Okay.
We're going to a bar mitzvah.
That's not it. Okay, so every year we have an annual housewarming party.
And by every year, they mean we did it once so far.
Hey, no. So the actual annual part is Redline. It's a movie called Redline. It's fantastic. And it is the one of the most anime of anime movies without being like stereotypically grossly anime. I love it.
It's wonderful. Okay.
Anyway,
we've been
watching that annually for the past 4 years.
Hold on. How is that not grossly anime?
Hey, trust me. There's way it's really anime but not grossly.
Okay, it's like the Quentin Tarantino anime.
What do you
anime?
Mean by grossly anime?
How many 14-year-olds in short skirts were there?
None.
I don't think.
How many people with giant swords were there?
Yeah, okay.
How many people going, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to stumble into No.
Oh no, a panty shot. Oh my god. There was like a boob shot, but they were like realistically animated, and I believe she had nipples. Which is a plus. Okay,
anyway, the point is we've been watching this annually for the past 4 years. And so we still don't really understand the plot. That's okay.
I understand the plot.
I do too, but
sweet JP.
It's not a difficult plot. That's not the issue.
I really hate anime.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So, last year, my friend the Kirk, he moved to Austin, so we threw him a housewarming party. And I brought Kyle along without telling him that we'd be watching this.
He said we're watching Redline, and I didn't know what that meant. So
that was intentional.
Hey, why haven't I had a housewarming party?
That's a good point. Yeah, we should figure that. But anyways, what?
You guys like to watch bad movies?
We do, but this is an awesome movie.
No, this movie cannot be described with three letters.
What is the post-apocalyptic movie where there's gangs and they solve everything with DDR? I can't remember the name of that movie. It's a real movie, and it's amazingly awful. And I can't remember the name of it. Chat, you should help me out. But it's like futuristic, there's gangs, and they solve everything with DDR.
Anyway.
It's not Disney Descendants, is it?
Oh my gosh.
Because that sounds like what you described.
Oh, I forgot that I actually just remembered yesterday that we watched that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think Megalam should get a lot of credit for suggesting that we remake the guards themselves as the gourds themselves with all the characters as vegetables.
Oh my gosh, and then they could quote Bible verses and be like, VeggieTales.
So yeah, anyway, now we apparently throw Kirk a housewarming party every year.
Yeah. So
that's the end of that story.
And I promised Kyle I would bring him to it without telling him what it is. So he can be forced into watching Redline again.
But there's also a pizza, and there better be wassail again, because I want more wassail.
Was there wassail last time?
We had wassail?
Yeah. It was delicious.
This is like Kyle's favorite memory from the party, apparently.
I had it in my dashboard, and I remember.
Oh! How Christmassy. Wow, so German, very authentic. Wow. Oh, that was a Sheba. That was weird. That was like German Sheba.
I thought Wassel was Welsh.
Burnt L, what must I remember?
The name of the DDR thing.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to type into Google.
Google notes thinking it'll work.
With DDR. The FP, that's what it's called.
The FP?
Like the first place?
It's called The FP, THE FP. It came out in 2011. Thank you, IMDb.
Wow. Okay, so
Beat Revolution, a deadly version of Dance Dance Revolution.
Stop.
And it's rated 3 stars.
Out of how many?
Out of 10.
Oh,
five. Out of 5.
Hi, Imperial Riot.
Why is he saying hi just to you?
Because I'm the master of the multi-universe, Kyle.
Here we go. Here's the synopsis on IMDb. In a post-apocalyptic future, two rival gangs fight for control of Fraser Park by playing Beat Beat Revelation, a deadly version of Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh my god!
I'm preferring to believe that Fraser Park is just the active set of Fraser the sitcom.
Beat Beat Revelation. Yes! I'm so excited about that! It sounds like freaking Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, remember the one in video game high school called Dante Ex Machina? I love that one.
That was a great joke.
It was called Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah. I just recently rewatched all of Video Game High School again, and then was at my job editing things, and suddenly realized that Donald Trump is basically Shane Pizza.
Yes.
Like, they play the same role. Like, it's just the rich person who does well because he has enough money to just do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Martell. Go watch that movie and you will be amazed.
I think
it's up there.
Except that Donald Trump is more tonally consistent than Video Game High School.
I actually enjoyed it more, I think, watching it through the second time because it didn't... It may have just been because I was prepped for it, but it seemed like watching it from beginning to end through all the seasons, it had a little bit more of a natural shift.
I was a combination of my not liking the sudden shifts that were unnecessary and also not liking the actual shifts that they made. Like, wait, now the two best friends aren't friends anymore over tiny misunderstandings. Continue for the rest of the series.
Seemed to be a reasonable build-up to me. It was like a one thing leads to... Like, the first one was a small misunderstanding, but it kept building on the previous one.
It just, like, I felt like it was not anything that needed to continue for as long as it did, and it ruined the dynamic that I actually enjoyed from the first season.
My brother told me it was good, but he also told me Naruto was good, so...
That's it for y'all!
What?
But
believe it!
I still enjoy Video Game High School for the jokes, which are good. It's not where I would turn to for narrative inspiration. But I only turn to the Iliad for narrative inspiration, so, you know.
Believe it!
Little known fact, Naruto is actually based on the Iliad.
Believe it!
It's a little known fact because it's
stop.
False.
No, stop. I agree.
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Contribute to this conversation in some way other than just yelling random sentences.
What is the best splash color in Eldrazi Ramp right now in Standard?
What? Green. Green is always the correct answer.
Well, green is the main
in sibling or something. No!
Oh.
Avery, clear up this misunderstanding.
They're definitely something.
The best kind of siblings.
Oh, what? My God.
Ew.
Just kidding! Ew, sorry. Gross sibling. Gross.
Ways
sorry,
that
siblings.
Redline isn't grossly anime? There's none of that.
Did you think our Facebook? What is that?
Why is my name in blue in the chat?
I love that Burnt L immediately jumps in and corrects them.
He's a musket.
He knows our last names, that's cool.
But why is my name blue? Does that...
Ian and I are siblings.
Does that just happen anytime somebody uses my name? That's cool.
Oh, it highlighted you.
I am a...
Lies.
I also have a thumbtack right now, so I'm kind of concerned because I'm going to step in and just like scream really loudly.
I don't know if Burnt L realize the weird interconnectedness of this channel.
What?
Oh yeah, no, Avery is actually Ian's sister and also John's wife.
Happened like that.
Our group kind of tied itself in a weird knot at some point.
Okay. Also, Mega Lamb, the reason the Christmas tree is still up is because I bought it like 3 days before Christmas. And I spent more money on it than I thought that I ought to.
No, this is the incorrect explanation. We're waiting for third Christmas.
Third Christmas, no. That's a video.
That's on
Steve. The sequel to everyone's favorite video.
Actually, how many of my good idea folder ideas are actually just like a two-word concept and then it writes itself?
That is most of your ideas. You seem to have a lot of faith in them.
To be fair, I believe one of them is a very highly viewed video.
Wait, which one?
Wait, actually a couple. The zucchini and rhubarb was the first thing I was thinking of.
That is not a highly viewed video.
Oh, it's highly viewed. Everybody go watch zucchini and rhubarb.
Zucchini and rhubarb is one of my favorites.
That was the original lunch. It writes itself. That was the original. And then Kyle came to me with a script and goes, it sort of writ itself. It's true.
We
have incest equals wincest.
Oh god,
chat.
What did we start?
Gross. Okay.
This is all on you, Music Musket. Also, Music Musket's a great name.
Poor Music Musket is getting a lot of like a lot of like, ah, man, gross.
I already used both of my talking points. So,
how long have we been talking for?
We've been going for just about an hour. I figure each of these can go for like an hour to an hour and a half, and we'll like hit an hour and then wait for the conversation to naturally come to a close. Which
I really like.
What?
The video I really like from you guys.
What?
Actually, I'm gonna give you my two favorite videos that you guys made. The Pokemon plan and Knock on Wood.
See, I always thought Knock on Wood was slightly underrated.
Oh, I really like Knock on Wood as well.
I really love Knock on Wood, and I love the Pokemon plan. I'll give a honorable mention to the one where you steal things from the internet. No crime.
Also underrated. Maybe it's because I don't remember filming that one.
I don't think you're in it. No, you are in it.
No, he is.
I just stepped through the whole thing.
It's technically also the first magic video.
You guys seen any new shows or films or played any games lately you wanted to talk about or anything?
Last couple of weeks. I managed to like totally miss a bunch of trailers, and then I just went back yesterday and watched all the trailers I'd missed.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually kind of hyped for Suicide Squad now, which is weird.
Yeah, it's a new one.
Is the new trailer is good?
The
new trailer is amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to try.
This transitions well into something I wanted to talk about on this.
What's that?
Batman versus Superman versus Wonder Woman versus Doomsday versus Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
It's like, what if they made what if they made an Avengers movie and just called it Captain America? Oh wait, they're doing that.
I think it's going to be a lot more downplayed than it. Like, the trailer made me think it's going to be way more downplayed than Avengers. Like, I like how you brought it up and then we immediately started talking about Marvel anyway, just like how it works everywhere else in life.
Oh, that's so sad.
I'm excited for Civil War. I think it actually, if I hope they do it well. Like, I think there's a lot of ways they could really make Civil
War. Comics did.
Didn't
do it well.
But, there are definitely ways they could pull it off. Like, if they have the guts to go in certain directions and actually make it like intriguing and maybe change the direction of some of their stories in some way and not make it to where by the end of the movie like everything's all fixed and okay again, I think it could be really interesting. So I'm hoping they actually, you know, use it to change the state of the Marvel universe in some way.
Yeah.
And don't.
Which I mean, they should, because a couple of those contracts are up.
Yeah.
So there's lots of room for this.
None
Meanwhile,
of you
I'm actually
secret Star Wars 7 haters, are you?
What is it?
No!
It's
amazing!
It.
Everybody who hates
Thank
it hates
God.
Fun.
Thank
God. Oh, yeah.
So many people, like, after that movie came out, started hating on it, and all their argument is, why build another Death Star?
Yeah, no, I've heard a lot of complaints mainly around how close it is to Episode 4, but I my usual response is that that's not a bad thing. It's mirroring Episode 4 on purpose, because that's a
That movie
I mean,
was incredible.
Just doing it on purpose doesn't mean it's any good, but it is good. So it's you know.
See it in 3D, you missed out.
I know. My parents didn't like it in 3D, and they're wrong.
What they didn't?
There's an establishing shot of a Star Destroyer in 3D that looks so incredible.
The audience.
Dude, that was amazing.
Actually, my very favorite moment of like my recent life, like of the past few years,
Are
is just
serious?
Sitting in the IMAX. And seeing the texts crawl in 3D float above an actual star field, it, like, made my childhood realer.
Are you serious? That was your favorite moment of your recent life, including all of our, like our relationship development?
There's love and there's Star Wars, okay?
There's love
that was the best part.
There's love and there's Star Wars.
That'll be the title of Ian's autobiography. Well, I didn't hear any of that, sorry.
Our Alamo, we have an Alamo in Lubbock, by the way, so we're legit now, but our Alamo offered about like a week after it came out, an all Wookiee showing of Star Wars.
Alamo Draft House, I got it. I thought you meant a historical monument where you suffered a horrible, gratuitous defeat.
In order to get in, you had to be dressed
San Antonio,
like a Wookiee.
Oh, you had to dress like a Wookiee to get in?
Had to dress like a Wookiee to get in, but it was a free showing.
Mostly all the way there, Ricky.
I know. I wanted to go. But So you had to dress like a Wookiee to show up and go. And the tickets were free if you were dressed up like a Wookiee, because that's the only way you got in. And amazing. Everybody was given a $20 voucher for free food, and everybody was given a free craft beer.
Wow.
Yes!
And I was like, that's incredible.
Oh, you know what?
Did you guys do that? Or did your Alamo do that at all?
The topic is dry.
I don't think so. I didn't see anything like that. I did see there was – I totally missed something last year that I really wanted to go to, but it was right in the middle of the week, and it was back when my I wouldn't be able to go now either. It was in the middle of the week, so my job prevented me from going, and it was really disappointing because it was a showing of Serenity at an old – like a prop old West town here in Texas where
yeah,
they, like,
cool.
served Chinese food and stuff. Like, they had – like, they actually filmed it – or they screened it outside in this old West village. And it was great, but I didn't – like, it was such an awesome idea, and I didn't get to go. I was so disappointed.
And Ron Glass is probably there, because he shows up to all those things.
Have you guys been to a Serenity quote-along at Alamo before?
No, that's what
you
it was.
You
it was
never
gonna,
get actually get a free Alamo drink house.
Little – you get a free little dinosaur, and they also get a pop gun for when you aim to misbehave. And when the Reavers show up, everybody shoots their pop gun at the screen. And everybody says, I'm a leaf in the wind, and it's all incredible.
Yeah, we're not spoiling Music Musket is thanking us for not spoiling Star Wars. We're not monsters. Although, if you haven't seen Star Wars yet, why?
Oh my god, my kids, I'm a teacher, and on the day after, like, the weekend after Star Wars,
there's
came out, several of my kids just shouted Star Wars spoilers in class. I was like, stop! Like, can I send you to the principal's office for this? Like, this is the worst thing any of you have ever done. Like, you need to get out of my class. I was so mad at them.
A 4chan on Reddit actually spoiled it for me beforehand, and you know what? It didn't actually bother me that much. Like, the main spoiler you need is it's super fun, and that's, like, really all that matters.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say, though, is in seeing four times, I like how she fights, because she fights like she has a spear.
You mean when she has a lightsaber?
Yes. When, if you watch her fight, she, like, is going always, she's always thrusting.
Uh-huh.
I have, like, a giant pointy stick. I'll point with it. Yeah.
Like, she fights if she has a staff, which gets the lightsaber.
That's
because that was a big complaint. Everybody goes, like,
that also. I do feel like I should point out that might be considered a little bit of a spoiler after just talking about how we're not spoiling the movie.
She fights, like, with a spear.
Well, you also mentioned that she holds the lightsaber at some point, which isn't.
You said that. I didn't say that. I made Kyle's spoiler.
This is why we don't try and dance around spoilers.
Yeah.
Let's just not talk
because
about
then we just end up talking about Jar Jar in the third act, and it's terrible.
I mean, it's really no different than saying, like, I mean, Bertel said it too, there's lightsabers, oh god. Like, people hold lightsabers at some point.
You spoiled it for everyone.
I'm gonna spoil it. There are stars.
How long is the actual Statue of Limitations before you can start talking about Star Wars, I wonder?
I mean, it's difficult because our major, like, example of Star Wars spoilers is literally the go-to way to talk about spoilers.
I guess the correct,
like,
thing to
actually...
do, if we were going to have an episode like of this in which we talked about Star Wars, would just be to put it in the title, just like, podcast, also warning Star Wars spoilers.
A podcast in which we spoil Star Wars.
But
that actually just makes people think we hate it or something.
The best community about not spoiling things is Cabin in the Woods.
I still haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
And I still don't know what it's about. It's great, except
go see it. I won't tell you what it's about, but go see it.
It's actually, like, I know it's by Joss Whedon, so I'm pretty sure the only thing it's not about is a cabin in the woods.
I live with Reed, like, so I already know everything that happens in it.
What?
Yeah.
Like, they are literally the best at, like, that whole community is, like, dedicated to not spoiling that movie.
No, I said Reed.
Okay, that's true.
I also saw a GIF from it yesterday that people said was spoily, and it didn't make any sense in context, so...
it's one of the reasons I actually enjoy Lost, is because you can talk about any detail of Lost you want, and it still doesn't help anybody.
Yeah,
so.
This is also... You know what this shares with? Metal Gear Solid.
The smoke monster... The second smoke monster, the guy that's resistant to static electricity because...
I'm one of the, there's I find it interesting just the split in Lost opinions, just because you either hate it or you love it, and I've, a lot of times I've noticed the distinction is whether you watched it on TV or whether you like binge watched it afterwards.
I would also depends on whether or not you care whether anything is resolved like explicitly, or if you're just like, man, this is great fun and I don't care.
Because you went into it knowing that how many people hated the ending, so it's not like you were expecting to be drawn into it.
I've become like a weird defender of endings that most people hate. I also don't think the Mass Effect ending is that bad.
I like the Mass Effect 3 ending.
Good job.
I think it's artistic.
I did it with my first playthrough was with all of the DLC and the extended cut ending or whatever, which helps a lot. I can see how as originally presented without any DLC and just bare, it was disappointing.
Can we talk about that? Am I allowed to talk about my feelings of the ending?
We're gonna make Kyle play it later.
Yeah, I guess probably shouldn't yet.
Okay.
Although by that point, like the thing about Mass Effect 3 is it's kind of hard to spoil because one of the things that it doesn't get enough credit for is people say in the end your choice doesn't even matter, but you've actually made so many choices through the game that it has like 3 endings, and any of those endings can go either way depending on your choices. Its issue is that it has an actual ending 3 times throughout the game.
That's so sad. I mean, like, that makes me feel a lot of regret for my life because I feel like it mirrors real life, like, in a way. Like,
okay,
I don't know.
This is too real. Stop.
Okay.
No. We're not bringing existential depression.
Lost opportunities.
We can have real talk on White Noise Live. It's fine.
No. It's too close to home. It's going to make me spiral.
The best existential anything is the existential butter robot from Rick and Morty.
I still have not watched much of that.
He makes a butter robot, and he goes, pass me the butter, and it brings him the butter, and goes, now what? He goes, you pass butter. And then he just, like, looks at his hands and says, oh my god. He's like, yeah, get used to it. And you get to see an existential crisis happen. Jar Jar Binks is Rick's daughter.
That doesn't actually like.
I don't like or hate
Rick and Morty. I just find it. I'm totally mild on Rick and Morty. I've never seen that before in anybody else.
Okay, I love the. Rick and Morty. I find kind of annoying because it's a little obscene and Rick burps every word he says, which I find gross.
It's mostly that stuff that I don't really find amusing in any way. So,
it's clever. I mean, it is. What's his face?
Dan Harmon. Yeah, it's written by Dan Harmon. So it's hard to.
Kyle, have you seen the episode of The Purge?
What?
The episode where they go to a planet that does The Purge.
No, I've only seen like one little episode and a few clips that.
You need to watch that one because they have a screenwriting joke in it that's the best, like the funniest screenwriting joke ever.
I
just completely cut. The correct love interest in all 3 Mass Effect games is Liara. It's canon. Don't.
Is she the blue one?
She's the blue one.
But you can't even see her face. Except for that one time.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, I actually generally prefer... I will probably enjoy the Mass Effect ending because I prefer endings that aren't like the classic Hollywood ending. And I think it's weird when people complain about endings being not what they wanted or something. Because
I mean, the original problem with the Mass Effect ending that there were some actual legitimate criticisms about is it's kind of underwhelming. It was poorly done. Like, really? There's 2 different issues. There's execution and there's concept. And the execution was sorely lacking originally. It was just very rushed and not very satisfying feeling. The concept is there, but the execution was... They've since fixed that with a contextualizing DLC.
Oh, okay.
Plus a couple of other sort of... Like, if you do all the main story quests and then right before the final large, go and do all the DLC, it gives a real sense of, like, fullness and completion to it that I think is good.
Yeah.
The execution's better. If you hate the concept, then you're just picky.
Yeah. The only other example I can think of is going back to video game high school. I remember seeing people complaining about how that ended. Most because they were like, I think it was mainly because they wanted Brian and Jenny to end up together or something at the end, and they didn't.
Stop.
And so it's things like that where it's like, but that wouldn't happen. Like, that doesn't make sense. It's something
else would happen. A video game based around high school based around video games, Kyle. I actually, you're right that it's not a sad ending and people are calling it a sad ending. What the issue there is failure to meet the expectations you raised in the beginning. Is it realistic? Yes, because life fails to meet your expectations all the time. But from a narrative point, I find it kind of sloppy.
It wasn't sloppy. It wasn't like they just suddenly introduced that topic. That was the theme of the entire season. There was an entire conversation he had with the principal beforehand about how that doesn't work out. And their whole character arc.
Video game high school? I want to watch something that's whimsical about a high school about video games, not life lessons.
That's my point. That's you getting angry that the ending wasn't what you want, though. It's not that the ending
it's not, no,
thematically
it's not
good.
What the concept was telegraphed as. There's a difference.
Also, it's not what's
if you're just comparing, like, episode one to episode whatever was the end, sure, but there's a whole show in there where there's a progression from one point to the other.
But it's still mixed in with a video game high school.
Well, so what? You can mix those things together. It's okay. You can mix whimsical things and down-to-earth stuff.
Oh my god, I'm depressed and my best friend just punched me in the face and now I'm bleeding and now I'm going to make a wacky joke about video games.
Why not? I think that's fantastic.
No, it's the contextual jarring. It's the emotional range needed to go from, oh god, he's actually just committed assault, to, ha, look, a Team Fortress joke. If I care about the story properly, I won't appreciate the jokes. If I appreciate the jokes properly, I don't have the time to emotionally dip down into the story.
There were some specific situations where I would agree it was too sharp of a turn and there wasn't enough fate, like, transition from one to the other. But I think the ending overall was perfectly
correct. Fault them for the ending, but the argument about Star Wars, like, you know, yes, there are execution mistakes, but when you watched it, you didn't notice them and you enjoyed it, and that makes it a good movie, right? Because if you enjoyed it, that's the important part.
Right.
While I agree that in a narrative sense and a tonal, for the tonal arc and the full completion of the series, it's probably intact. It was not satisfying, and I did not enjoy it when I watched it. And I think that's a mistake they made.
I guess that's a fair point.
You still have the salty title on Refresher Round.
I do.
Video Game High School is made by Freddie Wong, right?
Yeah. Made by Rocket Jump Studios. You can't really credit Freddie Wong for the whole show.
Okay.
There were a lot of people involved in that. But yes, that was...
I mean, I definitely like the salty title, but you have to stop being salty.
I like to think of it as just like... I mean, it can't be that salty because it inherently acknowledges the superiority of another channel at some point. If it's worth pointing out, it proves that they're bigger than us.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's ever going to say that one smaller guy of no consequence copied. So it was, I feel like it's inherently saying, it's inherently giving credit to them also.
Oh, Lonely Ninja's in the chat. Hi, Lonely Ninja.
Oh, hey, Lonely Ninja.
I'm sorry, you're always lonely, Lonely Ninja. By the way, I'm actually reading the chat. I just feel like I can't respond because the conversation topic is like a minute ahead of the chat.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning of this one, is that it's not like the video game streams where we'll be communicating directly with them, but we can still kind of take what they say.
I communicated with Burns. I told them I'd watch the FP.
One of the thing, though, is we maybe should set the delay back, because one of our actual founding purposes of this was a way to directly communicate with the community.
Yeah, well, we are more directly doing it than, I mean, previously it was community comments, which was, you know, several days delay, so this is still only a few minutes.
If it means we're constantly skipping over the chat that's trying to talk to us, it kind of defeats the purpose a little bit.
I think I was in community comments. I think I accidentally revealed Kyle's address in both of them.
What? That didn't happen. What are you talking about?
The one that was at your house. The one at your house, I actually revealed where you lived and you had to edit it out.
I don't remember that.
It was after we filmed
Roller Coaster Tycoon. For some reason?
I didn't hear either of you during that.
It was after we filmed Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Right. Yeah, I remember filming it, but I don't remember I don't remember you saying anything about my address in the.
You can just talk to them.
But when they're talking about something, so I
want to comment. Five hearts in a circle.
It's always Rachel talking in the chat because Ian doesn't like to talk in the chat.
I like to talk to the people. The thing is, if you type it in the chat, when people watch this months later, they will not understand. They won't get anything from the chat, which is why I always read off the comment that I'm responding to before responding to the chat.
But how will I say that out loud?
But see, YouTube chat is not very good.
I have one more. I have one more thing to put in here, just because I noticed people are talking about Rocket Jump the show now, because we started them talking about Rocket Jump.
That is on my list of things to watch,
which I rather enjoyed. They're bringing up the skits that I really liked too. There were a few of their skits in there. I really liked the show. There were a couple of skits in it that I thought, like, it just to me, I thought it was odd that they chose those skits in particular to do. To put all the money behind, but there were a few that were really good and I did enjoy.
Maceo's 15. I think the idea is that we will eventually get more people on this, hopefully.
On the podcast?
Oh, they mean people from the audience. We used to do those hangouts with people from the audience, and it was fun because we ended up just drawing faces on everybody.
I wish I was there for that. That sounds fun.
Was that one of the Patreon hangouts?
Yeah, one of the Patreon.
The hangout, yeah.
Give us money, and you too can have a face drawn on you.
Yeah, we can all draw faces on Reed.
That's great, because he doesn't have one.
We are using Skype right now because of video chat, so I'm using my streaming software to isolate the video chat feeds and put them in this frame.
Kyle's performing black computer science magic.
And I know Skype is bad, but I feel weirdly attached to it, so that's why we still use it.
I feel like Skype is it's like the one quote about democracy. Skype is the worst video casting software except for all the other ones.
Yeah. It's one of the we couldn't use Google Hangouts because Google Hangout doesn't show you both of the video feeds right next to each other, so I couldn't do this video stream thing.
And I'm like constantly find myself really annoyed with Skype and like complaining about it, and then I realize, you know, curse you, you stupid, awful piece of free software that lets me video chat with anybody in the world anytime for free for not having the exact eyebrow wiggle emoji I need for this specific instance.
It also feels weird just to abandon it because we started using it such a long time ago, like before Microsoft bought it, before it starting, you know, getting huge and everything.
YouTube is always troll.
Mm-hmm. We are a bit on the Skype train a bit early. So I will have you know that apparently my ad block has blocked 467 ads on this page.
On what page?
The YouTube screen.
That seems unlikely.
468. It's going up.
I think you just haven't talked to your ad blocker in a while. So
do you have an ad block and some ad virus on your computer at the same time duking it out?
That'd be great. Just like an unseen coding war.
I don't know what's like. It's just moving slow. That might be why.
But like, on the Magic subreddit, it only blocks two ads ever, and I know exactly where they are. So this one is just—it's something to do with YouTube. I imagine YouTube keeps trying to like play an ad from the start or something.
Yeah.
Like no.
Magic. Ian.
We're not to 470.
Yeah. All right. You like Magic lore?
You guys want to go ahead and call it now before the Magic conversation starts?
I just want to know what Tiora
like, yes.
What do you think of Tiora just deucing?
You know, I actually haven't read all the Uncharted Realms. I need to go back. I'm like a bunch behind.
Well, apparently when Kozilek shows up, Tiora goes, I really didn't like this world anyways, and just leaves.
That's actually perfectly in character. That's pretty cool.
She's all about saving her world. She stole a thing from God.
I'm just going to Theros and grab this Bident. That seems cool. Bye now. She's always been a vaguely evilish kind of character.
A vaguely evilish kind of character.
I mean, I believe the correct term is like, she's kind of chaotic neutral. She's very self-interested.
I also like how Chandra is actually just the badass of this block.
Like, yeah, I like to have somebody point out how they eventually get all the Eldrazi killed is essentially just channel Fireball.
Chandra killed all the Eldrazi, and when Obnixilis beat Gideon, Jace, and Nissa, all fighting against him, and then Chandra showed up last minute and was like, I have fire. And he had to run away.
Yeah.
Anyways, right, so that was all the Magic chat.
For everybody who joined MCG over the course...
Lonely Ninja likes this.
For everybody who joined over the course of the podcast, we will be doing these weekly now on either Friday evenings or Saturday mornings, just whoever's available will get together and do a podcast stream like this. And then they will be uploaded afterwards to whitelightninghq.com/podcasts as audio only, and then they will be on the YouTube channel as videos. So
Saturday morning is a very loose term, as we are doing this at like noon.
Yeah, well, we started at 11.
So that's 10.
11's not morning. Morning is like 9 and 8.
On Saturday,
it's Saturday morning. It's
2 o'clock.
No, I do play D&D. Right,
don't complain about the late
yes,
time.
Yes, we in fact play D&D. Actually, we
okay,
play
no more responding to the chat. We got to end the show. We've been going for...
Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
I love you, the chat.
All right.
I love you, the chat.
So we will see you guys later next week sometime. So everybody stay quiet now so I can do the outro animation.
Okay.